This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, welcome to what can only be described as a special championship-winning edition of the Red Bastard podcast. I am the Red Bastard. I am basking in the glow of Liverpool having won its first league championship since I was 14 years old. I had hair. Oh, man, I had just started high school. My whole life in front of me. A lot of which didn't even include being a Liverpool football fan. All right, I am a fairly recent addition to the club, and I'm going to get into my story a little bit during this podcast for any new listeners that have never heard it, but it feels like the kind of thing that in this moment, one of the things I've really enjoyed in listening to various podcasts and being on social media and watching videos is just everyone's story is so awesome. How did we get here? How did we get to this moment today where we as a worldwide family, one of the cool things I love about this podcast, and I wouldn't begin to pretend that I have a worldwide following in the sense that most worldwide followings of podcasts have, but I do have a weird, unique collection of listeners in various continents based on the Liverpool passion that we all share. And so I know like this will be listened to by friends in Thailand and that my friends in the UK, I have a few that will listen to this and that everybody seeing their story, finding out when was that moment that you became a Liverpool fan. One of the cool things about what we've experienced in the last 24 hours is that those stories have been shared. And I haven't read one, I haven't seen one, I haven't listened to one that I haven't wanted to hear or listen to or see or read. It has all been fantastic. Everybody's story is unique to themselves. It led us all here together, and they're all beautiful stories. And I think that's just my favorite thing about the experience of the last 24 hours, maybe even more so than a year ago when Liverpool won the Champions League. And that was my first real chance as a Liverpool fan to taste something like this. I wasn't around in 2005. I was, but I hadn't yet found this love of my life that I didn't know that I needed until I knew I needed it. And it was emotional watching Jurgen Klopp yesterday. It was emotional watching Jordan Henderson yesterday. I couldn't get enough of it. I don't know how many times I hit refresh. I don't know how many videos I watched. I don't know how many people I messaged. It was a day of elation. And all I could think of is I've only been on this ride for a while. I haven't done this since 1990. The only team that I follow as a fan that hasn't won a championship since 1990 is the Philadelphia 76ers. They won in 1983 when I was seven. In the last 37 years, they've played in a championship series once. So, like, I can't even comprehend what that is. It has happened in my life, but, you know, there are a lot of Liverpool fans today who are 37 instead of 44, like I am. And maybe they didn't have that when they were seven. And this is the first time it's ever happened in their life. Like, it's a hard thing to wrap my head around. As a Cowboys fan, it's been since 1995. And I often try to tell people that being a Liverpool football fan is a lot like being a Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean, it's all about the glory in the past. Like, as a Cowboys fan, the dynasty in the 90s and the team, you know, what they did in five Super Bowls in the 70s and the heartbreak in the 80s, like, but the history of it all, like, that's what I hold on to. I haven't gotten as close in the last 25 years as a Cowboys fan as Liverpool has in the last 30 to almost winning a championship only to come up short. It is its own unique story. And all of us inside of that have our own stories. I'm just happy for everyone. I'm happy for the, like, more. I think it starts with the people that I know, right? Like, I think about my friend Guy in the UK. I usually give him like a shout out once per podcast because I know he's listening. This podcast may only get listeners in the hundreds right now per episode. And since we've been cranking them out, like every a podcast once a day, it seems like for the past week, maybe not even that many, right? I mean, you know, my people can only consume so many podcasts until eventually, hopefully this thing catches on. But I think about Guy. We've talked today. And like he, you know, his experiences with like his dad. And his dad wasn't a big Liverpool fan, as he was explaining today. But like he supported everything that Guy supported. And Guy loves him some Liverpool. So like there, he understood that. And his dad's not with him any longer. But his daughter is. His daughter is about the same age that he was when he was introduced to Liverpool. And now he's introduced that to his daughter. And there is a sharing of this love that even for him is new, right? Like he didn't quite have that Liverpool connection with his dad, but like the connection was there. It was just different. But now there's a handoff, like a passion to a passion, not just an introduction to it, but a sharing of experience. And like the last 24 hours for him will be the kind of thing that he never forgets for his entire life. I think about those Liverpool players. We've seen the videos, and it's so funny because we all worried. And I had this exact conversation with Guy again. He's like basically should be on the podcast at this point. Maybe he should be on today's podcast. We were just talking about for days, for weeks, for months, the scenario in which Liverpool wins the championship. And I just kept coming from this position of, I just don't think it matters. I have been a fan of enough teams that have won that the circumstances of their winning are different. When the Phillies won the championship in 2008, my last team to win a championship, like I watched that from home. I was in my house. I didn't have kids. I watched that by myself in a bedroom, loved every second of it. I didn't care if I was alone or not. It was a huge moment in my life. First time in a decade, like so that feeling had existed. You know, I didn't feel like the how mattered. I felt like getting it done is what mattered. And I could argue that the way that it went down yesterday was better than winning it on the field. Because if those guys are playing in a game, they're so focused on the game. In a lot of ways, even after winning the game, it's hard to come down. Like when I've done radio for a decade, in the last couple of years, I took a break. After a decade of doing radio five times a day, my brain just needed a break, and it would get to the point where in radio, I would do, you know, a 3-hour show, a 2-hour show, and when it was over with, like I needed an hour to unplug. 10 years of doing a radio. Every day of doing radio, almost always, I just needed an hour. I needed an hour for my brain to unplug, to turn off, to talk for 3 hours, often by myself, other than guests, is just a lot. Like your brain wears out. And like, that's what these players go through, a physical and emotional. Like, I don't even mean to compare myself to them other than to say I did a radio show and needed an hour to unplug. If you can imagine being dialed in for 90 minutes of hardcore physical activity and mental activity, and then it's over, and then there's this new feeling that takes over, and it would have been phenomenal. And I hope that we have that. I hope in 12 months from now or in 11 months from now or however many months from now it would be that we do it again, and this time they're able to do it at Anfield, and it's a shared experience, and then it will be different. It will be different, but it'll be in its own way uniquely glorious, not like having kids. You don't love one more or less than the other. They're just different. You love them as much as you can love anything. And these players were able to be in civilian clothes, although they're mostly in their uniforms once the celebration started, it seemed like, to see them do the countdown, to count the seconds down, for them to all break into the Jordan Henderson trophy lift as the seconds are counting down, to see Virgil van Dijk's face, to see Andy Robertson's face, to see Kenny with tears in his eyes. And then he made Jurgen cry, except I think Jurgen had already been crying, and Jurgen, I think, was making me cry. And then Hendo comes out and you could just see it. And it was just, you just feel good for those people. I love this Liverpool team because I love the people on it. There's nobody on this team that I don't like. It's one of the things that's driven me away from American sports is that there's a weird thing in American professional sports where, A, I know a lot of these guys for so long that there's a personal thing that's hard to disconnect, and I don't have to do that with football in England. It can just be joy. It can just be pain, but it never crosses over into an area that makes me uncomfortable, which is a lot of times it's just weird. It's what I deal with as being a sports fan. It's one of the reasons why my obsession with Liverpool is so extreme, is it's a way for me to lose myself. And to see those guys care that much, to see them emotionally that impacted, to see everybody feel that way, it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And you can go player by player, right? Like, think about a guy like Sadio Mane. If anybody's ever seen the documentary that came out recently, if you're aware of his story and background out of Senegal at all, and how he had to basically lie to his family. He snuck away to like try to pursue the beginnings of a profession of some sort of career out of football. And it worked. And like to see like what he went through to get out of Senegal. And then, you know, it's like, the bus trips in minor league baseball and professional baseball. Like, you don't start out at the big leagues. You start out at the little leagues and you move up from league to league and you bounce up. And you got this young man who, I mean, I love Sadio Mane. This is a guy on his days off will go to a local mosque in Liverpool and clean the floors. This is as genuine and as like, he's just genuine. I mean, this is a guy that builds hospitals and builds schools and gives back to and goes home and takes care of his family and is devoutly religious. It never seems to have forgotten for a second any of these things that make him him. This is a young man from Senegal who is a one in a million just to get out, just to be a footballer who makes it out of out of a bad situation, borderline poverty, right? He had to chicken wire his shoes together when he was a kid. Because you didn't have money to go buy boots. This kid is now a young man, a guy that we can all support. And again, the thing about Liverpool is like there's a dozen stories like this. Mohamed Salah's story is not too different than this. And these are players in the prime of their lives who've accomplished something that hasn't been accomplished in an entire generation. And it's a fulfillment on so many levels for them. How could you not feel fantastic for them? I mean, Sadio Mane's story is like a Disney movie, but so is Mo Salah's. So is Roberto Firmino. So is Virgil van Dijk. I mean, Virgil van Dijk is a guy that was far from a blue chip prospect. Like nobody 4 or 5 years ago had this in mind for him. Jordan Henderson nearly got traded for Clint Dempsey, for goodness sakes. Like that would have happened. Except Hendo was like, bullshit, no. no. You're not bussing me out of here in some sort of SWAT for the American. I'm staying here. He's like that old milk commercial in the States where like little boy has a crush on a girl and she blows him off and he starts drinking milk. And he's like, one of these days, I'm not going to be 12 anymore. I'm going to be drinking my milk. I'll be badass in 25 and you'll regret not giving me the time of day. Like that was Hendo. Except he was doing that to the team that employed him. No, you're not getting rid of me. I'm going to become your captain. I'm going to become your captain. We're going to win a bunch of championships and I will be a fucking legend. How you like them apples, FSG? And I don't even mean to call out FSG other than the fact that they're from Boston and the How You Like Them Apples thing comes from a Boston movie. That wasn't even like a call out for John Henry. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And let me give you my story. That's where I wanted to go with this. Because I call myself the Red Bastard because who the hell am I to be doing a podcast about Liverpool football? I'm an American. I haven't been a Liverpool fan my entire life. And yet I'm all in. I'm all in. I could list the ways that I'm all in and it would sound, I don't know. I think vain, but I spend a lot of money about my passion. I talk to people around the world about my passion. And it all started back in 2013, 2014. I can't remember where on the calendar it happened. The specifics are kind of unknown. What I knew about myself was that I wanted to pick a club that I'd watched the World Cup in 02 and 06 and in 10. And every time I watched it, I would get super invested and say, this is super badass. I want to do this more. I want to do this more. But I got to get a team. How do you get a team? So when before the 2014 World Cup rolled around, I decided that this time I was going to get a team. And I want to say a magazine article in ESPN, the magazine came out, but it could have been Sports Illustrated. It could have been any number of sports magazines that I still would have been receiving back in 2013, 14, when I still did things like receive magazines. And I read an article on Luis Suarez. And in the article, it detailed how when Suarez was a kid, he found the love of his life in Uruguay. And the love of his life, and I want to say that she was like 9 or 10. They were like 9 or 10. And the love of his life, her family picked up and moved to Spain or... I want to say Spain. And he became, like, his commitment to football as a player was completely tied to the fact that he felt like it was the only way that he could get to the woman of the girl of his dreams that he'd met when he was a child. It was like Slumdog Millionaire, right? And he worked to become a good enough footballer that he could get a contract and go over to Europe. Because that was the only way he was ever going to connect with her. That if he could find a way to get to Europe, he could reconnect with her. But without that, he was just going to be some kid in Uruguay that was never going to be able to reconnect with this girl of his dreams. He did that. He married her. His wife today, like their family, all that is born out of this romantic story that football brought together in an incredibly unique way. And I became a Luis Suarez fan that day. And I became a Luis Suarez fan without ever having him watched him play football. And then I watched him play football. And he was batshit crazy. And he's free. He's freaky. Especially 2013, 2014 version of Liverpool Suarez. Like, he was freaky. And he bit people. And as I was down with that. Like, I hate to say that my, like, the 44-year-old version of me in 2020 is like, don't bite people. But, you know, in my 30s, I was an American football fan. And, like, biting somebody felt very Mike Tyson-ish. It felt like that's a very American thing to do, to just bite somebody. And I know he might only be from Uruguay, but biting somebody sounds like Florida. Luis Suarez, you can tell me he's from Uruguay, but what I'm telling you is that don't sound like nothing but a dude from Florida. He's Florida. Luis Suarez is Florida man. Oh God, I'm making myself laugh. That is so true. So unplanned to say, but so true. He is Florida man. And so I got into Suarez, and then in the blink of an eye, he's no longer at Liverpool, but the World Cup occurs, and I'm full on in a World Cup. So then coming out of the World Cup, it's like, okay, well, I want to pick a team, and Suarez is gone. So Suarez would have been the reason that I was a Liverpool fan. Now he's gone, but I don't really want to be a Barcelona fan. I want to be an English soccer fan. So I decided I'm going to watch a few teams. And I'll, whichever one I'm gravitated towards, that's the team that I'll pick. And somehow, moving on into the 2014-2015 season, which, oh man, if you're listening to this podcast, could you name a worse year to be your first full-time year as a Liverpool fan? Because the one thing I want to make abundantly clear is, a lot of success has happened in my short term as a Liverpool fan, but I came in the god-awful worst year of all time. I can remember my first taste of Champions League football, and I was like, this fucking sucks. I don't want to do that again. Do we have to do that? Who did we just play, and why did we lose to them? And that was so not fun. And then the football was awful. I didn't really get to enjoy Stevie. I'm doing things like rooting for Martin Skrtel. Stoke happened that year. This is the last game of the season. My first full, because I had been watching Liverpool games the season before, but, you know, I don't think I could authentically call myself a Liverpool fan. 2014, 2015 is when I became a Liverpool fan, and God, it sucked. It felt like I was joining something so awful. Why did I pick Liverpool? I'm watching the Stoke game to close the season, and that crossed my mind. What have I done? Why is that team so maddening, and why do I care so much? That was a crazy thing. I found myself in the middle of this first season of really caring. I felt myself caring more for Liverpool in 2014-2015 in this god-awful season than I did at any point in the last 20 years of rooting for any other team, maybe outside of the Phillies. I was such a big Roy Halladay fan that, like, there's a love affair that I had with my Phillies from 2007 through 2011. But other than that, I'm feeling this passion and really – It was like finding a love. It was like thinking that you've been in love and not knowing, not, you know, you think you know love and then you don't know love until something you know, it's like having kids, right? You don't really know how much you can love someone until you have kids. You don't know how much you can love somebody until you find somebody that you're going to marry. And then you have kids. Like, you know, there's levels to this. The love I have for my wife is different than the love that I had for, you know, Nicole, my 17-year-old, when I was 17. I guess she was 17, too. Or 17-year-old, like, girlfriend, right? Like, yeah, it's different. I thought I knew love at 17. 44, I know what it really means. And I think I kind of had that with Liverpool. Like, I thought I knew what loving a team meant, and then I'm rooting for this terrible team, and, man, I loved them. They were a motley crew to love, but I loved them. And they made me feel a weird level of pain. And the next season starts, and I was all in on Brendan Rodgers. Like, he was like this James Bond looking guy to me. I just thought, he could be James Bond, and that's cool. My manager's James Bond. I can live with that. Then the football wasn't much better. And it continued to be a bit maddening. And I was still all in. Still all in. I didn't know what I was all in on until the day that Jurgen Klopp was named manager. That happened. And to this day, it feels life-changing. Weirdly, right? Like, it shouldn't be one of the most important days of my life, but I can remember all of it. I can remember reading everything. I can remember watching every video. I can remember every soundbite. I can remember him saying, hey, you guys won't, like, if we don't win in like 4 or 5 years, I think it was 4 years, then you know, we're going to win. Like, he just, I remember him saying it. It was like, you guys won't have to run me out. I'll leave if we're not winning by then. And it just feels like since his arrival, it has been a magic carpet ride of feel good, of elation, of the best sports feelings I've had in my entire life. And I've never loved a manager or a coach like I love Jurgen Klopp. I joke, I want you though, I call this show is the Red Bastard because there's a play on words involved that you know, I'm American. I'm a fairly recent fan, so I'm not even like an American fan. It's been around since 1990. It's like, I'm not that guy. I'm a bastard. I'm a bastard fan. If there ever was one, I'm a not because 2014, I almost become bandwagon fan, except I did show up in a horrible season. Like, I feel like you guys all live that, but I volunteered year one to live that. Like, you know, if I hear someone say, oh, I became a fan in 2005, that feels easier than what I did. And you got to have that. I came around for Stoke 6, like, you know, it gives me the creeps to think about, like, that year of me falling in love in a relationship that didn't look like it was going to be very good. And then, like, you found out, it's the girl of my dreams. Jurgen Klopp takes over. We have, I don't care that it ended with us not winning a championship. For me, that 2016 Europa League run meant something. Dortmund meant something. Beating Manchester United, that was my first chance, like a real taste as a fan of like that rivalry and win or else. And like, you know, I'm all in. Like, all these moments along the way early on, you know, 2016 ultimately probably became what 2014 could have been if I was a little bit more invested and not just into Suarez and just picking random games to watch that mad bastard. And then I found myself in the Premier League becoming a big fan of Sadio Mane when he was at Southampton. Like, I'm a Liverpool fan, but I would probably say my favorite player in the league at that time, in the early days of being a Premier League fan for me, watching Sadio Mane at Southampton, he was kind of my favorite guy to watch. So when Liverpool signed Sadio Mane, I know that there were a lot of question marks. I know that in a lot of ways, people were kind of neutral about it. I was head over heels. If anybody that would have participated in my online community, orangebloods.com, which covers University of Texas college football, like, I was immediately making big claims. I thought Sadio Mane was going to score 20 goals that season. I think by 2017, I was already saying I thought he was better than Eden Hazard, and Orange Bloods people were arguing with me, and I got the last laugh on that. They won't ever admit it, but I was right then. I'm right now. And so his arrival, and then one by one, the players kept getting amazing, and this team just kept improving. And again, it's just been a magic carpet ride for the last 4 years. Absolute magic carpet ride. And I'm doing a podcast today because it's been a magic carpet ride, because the passion that I feel for this subject material is unlike anything else if there was anything else that I felt this way about, I just do a podcast about that instead. Liverpool football has grabbed a hold of my heart. I can't get enough of it. You know, like, I do this podcast, but, you know, it's not, there's nothing, it's a weird thing. There's nothing competitive about it. Like, I'm quite open. I think I listen to about 100 podcasts a week. I listen to everything the Anfield Rap puts out. I watch everything that Redmen puts out. I watch everything that Blood Red puts out. I watch everything that, you know, the guys over at The Athletic put out. Was the Red Agenda. Cop On. Like, I'm listening to everything. I can't get enough of it. Can't digest enough of it. And that Liverpool as a city reflects my values as a human being. Can't get enough of it. So I just had to do a podcast. I had to do a podcast where I let out and breathe. These next 7 games, how fun are they going to be? How fun is it going to be to get a guard of honor against Man City? Think about what we've done the last couple of seasons and how stressful every Premier League game has felt. Every game, have to win. It is, you know, it feels like the scene in A Breakfast Club when Emilio Estevez is describing what his old man is like in terms of him being a wrestler. There's so much pressure to be great every day. Sometimes it's hard to enjoy every moment because it's so tense. You so want the goal at the end. You want it so badly. And now that it's there, for the it'll be different when the season's over and the new season begins. For the next 7 games, we can relax. We can go watch our beautiful team play a beautiful game and do beautiful things and know that we'll get more beautiful points and know that we will be basking in the glow of one of our favorite moments in the history of our lives. You'll never walk indeed, you'll never walk alone. Quite a mantra. I think felt that more than in the last 13 months. Yeah, man. You'll never walk alone indeed. You guys have a great weekend. How could we not? Later.